Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 35 to 41. I'll speak to you on the subject of fear. Fear is the opposite of faith, and the Bible says, "Now the just shall live by faith, not fear." I believe the threshold of the flesh, the way we enter into the flesh as Christians and leave the grace of God, is through fear. And so fear is the one commodity that the devil tries to sell wholesale. He is always working to sell us fear. Every situation that we find ourselves in, the question is, can you trust me with this? And if we trust God, God will make a way. And so as we look at this, I want us to see that God's promises are to fear us, to free us from fear. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him, and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" They feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we see in your word that you have designed for us a way to avoid fear. Lord, I pray that we would latch on to your grace, that we might live by faith and not by fear. Remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fear. Fear can take a person from joy and peace and can destroy all that. Fear shows itself in many ways: anxiety, worry, just plain old fear. And God says more than 365 times in the Bible, "Fear not. Fear not." That's the key to the Christian life, is to not fear. To be content with whatever situation you find yourself in. Don't be afraid. Trust God. That is the key to it. It's simple, but it's pretty hard. Whenever we can learn to live by faith and not by fear, we'll find that the Christian life will open up to us completely. Now, first thing I want you to see is what fear looks like. Here he says in verses 35 through 38 and then verse 41, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, 'Let us pass over to the other side.' When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, saying to him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?' And then verse 41, "And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Now notice, rather than the calm causing them to have faith, it caused them to have more fear. You know why? It's because the devil is always on the job trying to sell fear, trying to make us see that now the danger is that God is with us. Now God is here. And that's even more dangerous than the sea. But danger is one of the biggest causes of fear. Now, these folks were in apparent danger. Amen? The boat was sinking. They were going down and probably didn't know how to swim. And so they're saying, we're in big trouble here. This is a serious situation. But God said, why are you fearful? Now, what's your reaction to that? You know, you fall off the top of a tall building, and on the way down, you're afraid. And God says, why are you afraid? We want to say, duh, I'm about to die here. We're going down. This is a no-brainer. I'm supposed to be afraid. But he says, why are you fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? How can God say that? You see, people do die. When we jump off tall buildings or we fall off tall buildings, we die. And we know that. And so we become fearful. These men were used to the sea having a storm and sinking their boat. And they probably had many friends who in this situation have died. And so they said, Lord, don't you understand we're about to die here? And here you are taking a nap? Time to get up. I don't think they were asking him to save them as much as they're trying to save him from drowning in his sleep. He said, we're going down here. You need to get up. But Jesus said, why are you fearful? Well, the answer to that is danger. I feel like I'm about to die, and that makes me fearful. Well, what's the alternative? Just die. You see, heaven waits for those who die. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't come back in the rapture before then, we're all going to die. We've got to die to get to heaven. That's the way it works. And so when we finally get to that place where it's our time and God takes us out of this world, it's going to be the greatest day of our life. Up until then, we're invincible. I had a friend who was in construction in St. Louis, fell off of a 40-story building and hit on concrete on his all fours. Well, of course, you know, we expected a greasy spot. And it broke every bone in his body, some of them several times. But he was trying to get up. And after about 40 surgeries, as far as I know, he's still alive today, and that's been about 40 years ago. Well, that's not supposed to work like that. But God wasn't ready for him to go yet. I imagine after about 20 of those surgeries, he wished he had. But the truth is, we are invincible until it's time for us to go. And so God says, just trust me in this. I'll either take care of you or I'll take you home. I'm reminded of the three Hebrew children in about to go into the fiery furnace. There was danger there. They're fixing to go off in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar said, now, who is this God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? I don't see him anywhere. I'm about to throw you into the fire if you don't bow down. And they said, we don't need to think about this. Our God is able to deliver us out of your hand. But here's the important part, and he will deliver us. But if not, be it known unto you, we will not bow down to your image. Now I want you to understand something here. They did it the right way. They were about to die. And they're saying, if God wanted to, he could put your fire out. He could do anything he wanted to do. But they wouldn't expect him to do that. They said, he will deliver us out of your hand because we're going to go to heaven. Or in their case, paradise. But the key to it was this. They had a command from God that they knew God would back up. Did you get that? You follow God's word and God will back up his word. They knew that bowing down to that image was not an option. Now, dying was an option. Being delivered was an option. Bowing down was not. You see, folks, if you're going to live by faith, that's the way we have to live. The promises of God, the directives of God, everything that God puts in His Word is for us to trust and live by faith. And so as we come into a situation, we have to look, first of all, is there any directive here that I can't violate? And then we have to say, what are the alternatives? Now for these men, the one directive was fear not. The alternative was to either be rescued or die. You see, the Apostle Paul, when he was going to Jerusalem, several times the Holy Spirit would have these different prophets come up to him and say, you're going to be bound in Jerusalem. Whoever, the man that wears this girdle, they took Paul's girdle, put it on themselves, said, the man that wears this girdle is going to be bound if he goes to Jerusalem. And all they started saying, don't go, don't go. Paul said, I am not only willing to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem. You see, he had a directive to go to Jerusalem. And so therefore, that part was settled. The alternatives were to die or to be rescued. In Paul's case, he was rescued for that time. And there finally came a time for him to die, and then he wasn't rescued. I've said many times, when it's my time to go, I'm going to die expecting God to rescue me because He's rescued me so many times. God can rescue us at any time He wants to, or He can take us home at any time He wants to. We're His. We belong to Him. And so if we're going to live by faith, we have to just be willing to take whatever the consequence is of obedience. And as we do that, there's a tremendous freedom in that. We do not have to worry. We do not have to fear because God has everything under control. You'll never get into a situation that God can't get you out of if He wants to. And you can never get out of a situation that God wants you to go through. Do you know that? You can try everything in the world to get out of a situation and you'll just find yourself going right around and back into it again. God will keep you where He wants you to be, whether it's to your willing advantage or your unwilling disadvantage. God is able to do all of that. Listen to Genesis 20, first 11 verses here. And Abraham journeyed, from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he, not unto me, she is my sister. And she, even she herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Now understand, this was an era on Abraham's part. But notice what he said. I was afraid because I said, surely the fear of the Lord is not in this place. God doesn't have control here. I have gone out of the area, the realm of God's control here. And so therefore, I'm on my own. I've got to take care of myself. And so I'll just do a little lying and that will take care of everything. You see, we can all relate to that, can't we? We get in the business world. We get somewhere where there's no respect for God. We say, well, the fear of the Lord is not in this place. And so I'm on my own. I've got to do my own thing. And when we do that, we fall into fear and worry because we can't handle the situation. God wants us to not take the danger and transform our life to solve the problem. God wants us to live by faith 24/7. If danger comes, one of two things is going to happen. Now, this is important, folks. You're either going to die or God's going to rescue you. That's it. Every situation that is dangerous in your life, God's either going to rescue you or you're going to die. And you know something else? If it's your time to die, can't nobody rescue you. If it's not, can't nobody kill you. And so we have a reason to just trust God. Because whatever God chooses is best anyway. Sometimes we fail to see that. God's best is always best. And if we will simply trust Him in that, we don't have to live in fear. I would rather live my life by faith and not be afraid. And so I would rather fail in faith than to succeed in fear. And I believe that that is the key to the Christian life. Being willing not just to succeed by faith, but to fail by faith if necessary. Not only trusting God to rescue me, but as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're going to trust God even if we die. Job said the same thing. They said, how long are you going to maintain your integrity? God's wearing you out and you keep saying He's your God. He said, though He slay me, I'm going to die trusting Him. You see, Job was a free man in all that suffering because he trusted God. There was never a time when Job decided not to trust God. I love that. But then sometimes doubt gets in the way, don't it? You see, doubting the outcome, doubting God. Can God deal with this situation? When we doubt, we get in trouble. Matthew 14, 25 through 33 says this. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Now understand the difference between just the danger right on the front end and doubt is this. Doubt is while you're walking in faith, you lose your faith. He was out there walking on the water. People can't do that. Right in the middle of a miracle, he started doubting. And that doubt caused him to sink. Doubt will do the same thing to us. Whenever we begin to say, this is not really working. This is not really happening. There is a problem here. Then we begin to sink back into the flesh. We begin to fail. And dread is also a problem. If we lay awake at night, dread tomorrow, dread the next day, dread what's going to happen when we get old, and dread this and dread that, that dread is a lack of faith. Listen to what he says here in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice, I do not have the right to worry about tomorrow. You do not have the right to worry about tomorrow. We have come to the place today where we think it's our responsibility to worry about tomorrow. It is not. God has everything under control. And he tells us that we're to live one day at a time. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We do not have the right to project into the future and begin to worry and dread the future, because it robs us of our grace. We cannot live in faith while we dread the future. And we have little sayings that men have come up with that make us think we have a responsibility to dread the future if we don't have it under control. Like, he who fails to plan, plans to fail. That's from the devil. You see, God says, take no thought for your life. That doesn't sound like a good plan, does it? Don't worry about it. I got this. He says, you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the way it has to work. You cannot trust God and worry at the same time. You can't do it. You say, well, look, if you don't, if this doesn't worry you, you don't understand it. I seen a sign on a secretary's desk one time. It said, if this doesn't make you nervous, you don't understand what's going on. Well, see, the truth is, you can understand what's going on. Say, my God is able to deliver me. My God is able. And because he's able, I'm going to trust him. You do not have to worry about tomorrow. Two things are going to happen. If you just trust the Lord, tomorrow he's either going to deliver you or you're going to die. He's going to sustain you or you're going to die. He's going to feed you or you're going to die. He's going to meet every need you have or you're going to die. And it's his responsibility. He says, the Lord knows what you have need of before you ask him. He knows all that. But the devil wants you to worry about it. You know why? Because whenever you start worrying, the instant that you start worrying about something, your grace is gone. He's got you. He can wear you out now. And sin starts popping up in your life because you done turned your grace off and started worrying. God says, don't be afraid. I got this. Now let's look at faith. Verse 39 and 40. He arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now understand, what he's telling us here in these two verses is that he's able to do whatever he wants to do. Do you know how hard it'd be to calm a raging sea and a raging storm? Try that sometime. You can holler all you want to. It's going to keep raging. Jesus just says, peace, be still. You know, when a storm has the waves going up and down and all that, and the wind stops blowing, it still goes up and down for a while. But not this one. Just boom. Great calm. You know what God's saying with that? There's nothing I can't do. You can't get in a situation God can't get you out of. You can't have a problem that God can't solve. You can't have a difficulty that God can't meet. God is in absolute control of his creation. And we are his creation. So many times, people wrestle with sin in their life while they live in fear and don't make the connection. You got to deal with fear. The just shall live by faith, not by fear. And if we live by faith, the grace of God will keep us, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep our hearts and our minds, and we'll be safe. But if we live in fear, we're going to struggle. There's a few things we need to know if we're going to trust God all the time. The first thing is that God cares. We've got to know that. What is your opinion of God? Is God mean? And God is always trying to hurt us, and we got to watch out for mean old God because he's going to hurt us. He's always mad at us because we sin. Or do you see God as somebody who cares? You see, if you're going to trust God, you're going to have to know he cares. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God cares. God wants you to know he cares. Listen to Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Did you see that last part? Why does God say, I will never leave you nor forsake you? So that we don't have to fear. God is on our side. He loves us. He cares for us. You say, but I can still starve. If that's God's will, starve. I can still go broke. If that's God's will, go broke. Don't fear. Just trust God through the starvation or whatever. You see, here's the thing. If God came and sat down beside you this morning, and he said, look, I need you to do something for me. I want you to starve to death. And just trust me in this. We'd all say, okay. Right? The problem is, it's the unspoken things. God doesn't come and sit down beside us. He just lets it happen. The whole time he says, now look, I love you. I've got this under control. Just trust me. And whatever he wants to happen in your life is what's going to happen. Just trust him. He's got this. You see, here's another important thing you got to know if you're going to trust God is he can. God can do everything. Listen to what he told Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The answer to that is no. There is nothing that God can't do. God can. God can move mighty mountains. God can stop things from happening. God can make the sun stand still. God can make the sun go backwards. Hezekiah asked the Lord for a sign. He said, you want me to make this sun go forward 15 degrees or backwards 15 degrees? He said, well, if it went forward 15 degrees, it'd be hard to see that, but let's make it go backwards 15 degrees. God said, okay. He set it back 15 degrees. It was funny, during the space program, they had to take that in consideration because of the situation of the planets and where the moon was and everything. They couldn't get it to calculate out right until they took the one day that God caused the sun to stand still for Joshua, and then the 15 degrees that he set the sun back for Hezekiah. God can do anything, folks. Now, underneath all of this, you got to believe there's a God. A whole lot of Christians are professing Christians and practicing atheists. They don't really believe there's a God. You know, they pray, they don't feel like their prayers getting higher in the ceiling. It's just maybe there is, maybe there's not. The reason for that is because the devil is just, wholesale spreading the whole idea that there's no God. When you die, you rot and all that kind of stuff. That's all from the devil. But we know better. You see, we've walked with the Lord. We studied in Sunday school about hardening the heart. There's another side to that. The longer you live by faith, the softer your heart gets. You're able to receive the things from God and not have all of the doubts and all of the fears. More and more and more, you're going to come to realize God can take care of everything. I have been in places in my life where there was no way out, and God got it out, got me out of it. I've been through situations where I should have died, and God delivered me. All those things build your faith. And you understand, God can do anything. And so when we know that, then it's easier to trust Him. And then we need to know that God comforts. God loves us, and He will comfort you while you go through trials. So here's the thing. People say, well, I don't want to suffer. But God comforts during suffering. Amen? Some of you have suffered, and you know what I'm talking about. When you go through suffering, God comforts as only He can. When you go through the loss of a loved one, God comforts. You see, we may look at a situation that somebody's going through, and we may say, boy, I don't think I could go through that. It's because you don't have the grace, and you don't have the comfort from God until you get in the situation. But when you get in that situation, God's comfort is there, and it makes all the difference in the world. You can go through anything if God goes through it with you. And so we need to know that. Listen to what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you get that? He says, He is the God of all comfort. God can just touch something in you that brings peace and comfort. You can be in a situation where you're in dire straits. Things are terrible. Right on the edge of death. And God can give you peace. You say, well, how does He do that? I don't know. He's God. And He can comfort you when there is no real picture of comfort anywhere. God can comfort. I believe when a Christian comes to the place of death, there's peace because of God's comfort. God can comfort. All you have to do to see that is just be by the bedside of an old saint when it's time to die. There's peace. There's comfort because God is there. Many times, you can almost see them when they get their first glimpse of the other side. You know, it's like, that's it. And boom, they're dead. And I believe what they're seeing is the angels coming to carry them to glory. Because they'll just look up, and there it is. And I believe God sends a warning sometimes and kind of gives a little heads up. I had a lady that was in the hospital with a serious disease, and I went by to see her, I think it was a Friday evening, and she was really sick. But this night, she was sitting up on the side of the bed. She said, "I'm going home tomorrow." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes, sir." And we sat and talked for a little while, and I went on, and I thought, she ain't going home tomorrow. Next morning, they called me. She went home. She wasn't talking about where she lived. She's talking about heaven. Because God had already told her she's going home. And she was excited about it. Because the God of all comfort had comforted her. Now let's talk about freedom. Verse 40. He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" You see, every person here this morning has trouble in their life. You say, "Brother Allen, how do you know that?" I live here too. Part of living is trouble. Part of training as a Christian is trouble. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's just pain. Sometimes it's bereavement. We all have trouble. You're either right in the middle of trouble, just getting out of trouble, or fixing to go into it. That's life. God wants to set us free in our trouble. He's not going to make all the trouble go away. He says it's necessary that trouble comes. You got to have it. That's the way you grow. It's the way you lay up treasures in heaven. This is what it's all about. But he said, "I'm going to free you from your worry and your fear." The cure is faith. You see, if you trust Jesus, there's no torment in trouble. Fear has torment. Torment always comes from fear. You say, "Well, what about real situations that are dangerous situations?" This was a dangerous situation. You say, well, what about something that can't be avoided? It's coming. One of these days you're going to get in a situation that the end of it is heaven. But God says, "Don't be afraid. Just trust me. Why are you so fearful? Why don't you have faith?" That's the cure. That's the freedom. You want to be set free from your troubles this morning? What do you think would fix it? Somebody that's in financial trouble might say, $1 million. That would fix my problem. No, it won't. Look at the man who had the tremendous crops that came in. He didn't say, "All right, got it made now." What he said was, "What am I going to do? I don't have enough space in my barn to store all the blessings that God has bestowed upon me. I'm going to have to tear down my barns. I'll do that. And then I'll build bigger barns, and then I'll put stuff in the barn, and then I'll padlock the door and get me a shotgun and set out there and make sure that nobody gets what I've got." I put that last part in myself. But you see, that wasn't faith. That was more worry, more fear. What will solve the problem is faith in God. See, he says, here's your alternatives. You can either live by fear or you can live by faith. Live by fear, you're going to be tormented. You live by faith, you'll have peace. You say, "Well, which one's going to come out better?" Don't matter about the outcome. That's in God's hands. If God says, "Don't lay up treasures on earth," he means that. If God says, "Take no thought for your life," he means that. And then he says, "I know what you need. It's not that you're not going to have it if you don't take thought. It's just that you're going to get it from me, not from your toil and your worry and your torment." So he says, I want you to do that. Listen, this is so alien to our culture, there's no wonder to me that America is in the shape she's in. This is alien to our culture. We must go against the grain. Don't just let this message from God go in one ear and out the other and say, well, you can't do that in America in 2018. That won't work. God's eternal. His word is eternal. It will work in any situation. And who do you think puts you in these troublesome situations? It's God. And the question is always the same. Doesn't matter what the problem is, the question is always the same. It's not, how can you get out of this mess? That's the question we want to answer, isn't it? But the question is, can you trust me in this? Can you trust me in this situation? Oh, yeah, sitting in church on Sunday morning with everything going your way is easy to trust God, but what about right in the middle of a problem? Do you still trust me? That's what God is saying. And our answer must be, Lord, I trust you. I don't care what the outcome is. That's yours. I belong to you. You see, we're not our own anymore. We're bought with a price. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, he purchases us with his blood. We have been redeemed from the fall by the blood of Jesus. We're not our own. And so therefore, we must live our lives just trusting him to do whatever he wants to with us. God could ask us to have our heads cut off. If he wanted to, he's within his rights to do that. Many people who served God in the Old Testament got sawed in half. They got their heads cut off. They were killed by the sword. All these people God loved. And right now they're in heaven celebrating. Been there for a long time. You see, God knows what he's doing. And it is not a bad thing to have God direct your life and work out all the situations that he wants you to go through. Say, well, how do I do this? How do I find this freedom? This is what God wants you to have, is this freedom. Number one, you got to trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. You see, a few key elements there. Trust with all your heart. That has to do with every situation you find yourself in. Don't lean to your own understanding. You know where that comes from? It comes from the devil. He's got all kinds of suggestions you get in a problem. Boy, he can just spill them off. You ought to do this and this and this and this. And the top of the list is you better worry because you're in trouble here. That's stinking thinking. The devil wants us all the time to be fearful. God wants us all the time to be in faith. We have to choose which we're going to do. Problem is, our flesh kind of agrees with the devil. Yep, I believe I am in trouble here. I believe I better worry. And the devil has an easier job than the Lord does in our life, even though we belong to him. And so, we trust with all of our heart. We don't lean to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge God. And what does that mean? When God gets you through a situation, don't just say, well, I was lucky. Acknowledge God. God is the deliverer. He's the one who gets us through these hard times. And when he does, we need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because in that acknowledging, we then avoid the trap of the devil the next time a trial comes along. Because if we think it was just lucky that time, we think it was just by our blood, sweat, and tears that we got through that time, we got to go right back to the same method. But if we understand that God did it, then we can just rest and let God take care of it. That's the difference. Now, another thing that we've got to deal with if we're going to have freedom is our treasures. A whole lot of treasures in this world that people try to collect. But listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what's he saying here? Be careful about laying up treasures on earth, because you're going to attach your heart to that. Wherever your treasure is, there's your heart. And so we have to lay up our treasures in heaven so that our heart will be focused there. You know, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't ignore that. Don't overlook that. Don't say, as long as I got the stuff of this world, I'm going to be happy. I have to have things to make me happy. That's loving this world. And when we love this world, the love of the Father is not in us, and we are susceptible to all of the doors of sin in our life. God wants us to understand that. And he says, now here's your key. The problem is your treasures are on earth, therefore your heart is on earth. Therefore, it's hard for you to trust me when I start shaking your treasures. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Now, the whole purpose is to free you from worry. Because whatever you own will soon own you. You got to oil it. You got to clean it. All those things. And you got to take care of everything you own. God says, don't go there. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Now, you still have to have stuff. See, here's the rub. You still have to have stuff to take care of. But everything you own needs to be given to God. And then he's the owner of it. Whatever he wants to do with it, it's his business. He can leave it with you. He can take it from you. It's his business. It's his. He owns it. Everything that God gives us is on loan. Everything that we have, we're stewards of. We must not own anything, because what we own becomes a treasure. What we're stewards over, we hold with a loose hand. Job was a perfect example of that. Job was the richest man in his part of the country. But when God took everything from him, he said, God's the one who gave it to me. God took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see what the difference is? He wasn't hanging on to it. It was there. He was enjoying it, because God gave it to him to enjoy. He was enjoying the things that God gave him, just like he was enjoying the trees that grow wild. He was enjoying that just like the grass in the field. He was enjoying it like the stars at night, and the sun in the daytime, and the moon at night. He enjoyed all of the things that God had provided. And part of that was his food and his clothing and his children and his house and his cattle and his money. All of that was God's, and he was just a steward. His treasure was in heaven. You see, it makes a difference how we face life, where we put our treasure. The triumph comes when we learn to live as God has laid out for us in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34. Listen to this. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, seems oversimplified, doesn't it? You know what God's saying? I'm going to feed you just like I feed the sparrows. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to keep you warm. Now, I may exercise you with work. I'll give you something to do so you don't get stiff and lazy. But I'm going to take care of you. And he says, don't worry about it. Because worry has torment. And tomorrow will take care of itself. Folks, when we read scripture like this, and we say, God is in charge, God can take care of me, and we rest it on him, it becomes his responsibility. And he will not fail. He's promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We're not citizens of this world, folks. Our citizenship's in heaven. We left off being citizens of this world when we were crucified with Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. If we can take hold of this truth, it will transform our lives and possibly transform our country. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. And he will save you if you will put your trust in him. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart to do, let him have his way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. We thank you for your love and your mercy, your goodness to us. We thank you for the promises that you give us that allow us to live by faith and not by sight. Lord, I pray that you would set us free from worry and fear. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, that you'd save them before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.